This is The Record, the Week in Review Extra. I'm Steve Scherr. Knut Berger is here. Joni Balter's here. Eli Sanders is here. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you, Steve.
You know, don't forget you can listen to the whole hour of the Week in Review as a podcast, or you can listen at 10 o'clock on Friday mornings. So, first of all, Eli, I thought you were going to deliver yourself via your drone in honor of Amazon.
I wish I could. It's so cold. I'd love to sit in a temperature-controlled bubble atop a drone and, you know, fly here that way.
Another bike rider bites the dust,
yeah,
right?
I remember Eli brought in a drone to talk, his own little drone.
Right. I thought I would refrain from doing that, again, just for the safety of everyone involved. And that, I guess that gets to the point about the Amazon drone. Drones are not anywhere near ready to deliver me from Capitol Hill to KUOW, and they also are not quite ready to even deliver small packages to people's doorstep. The Amazon video demonstrating this was edited in a very shrewd way, but it leaves out the problem of navigating urban canyons, power lines, birds, weather. You'll notice this was a crystal clear day when the Amazon drone allegedly, you know, dropped something on someone's doorstep. You'll also notice the people who are getting the delivery stayed inside.
They were actually scared. Come on.
There are some things that still need to be thought about in regard to small objects with 8 very fast whirring propellers flying around.
You can mow your lawn on the way up to the door.
Yeah. Well, there's a guy who is an expert in drones who talks about these as flying lawnmowers.
Did you want to just weigh in? You could weigh in short.
Really short. I just wanted to say, before people freak out about, you know, Jeff Bezos's drone Air Force, this is the guy who predicted that we would be redesigning cities around the Segway.
Oh.
Okay. So not all of his predictions come true.
Wow. I knew it was going to.
I'd forgotten about that one.
I knew it was going to be laughed at when about 10 seconds after the 60 Minutes piece ran, the first tweet was, "I plan to shoot these out of the sky."
Oh, my. Well, perhaps along the lines of what newly elected city council member Shama Sawan said, when there's a capacity in Boeing factories and they own a drone company, we could be building more of those delivery drones for Amazon.
The problem is not the capacity or, you know, where can we build these things. We have not figured out how to make this work yet. The technology is not there. The battery technology
is not
there.
Hook them to a Segway, it'll work.
What about the visual pollution when Jimmy John's discovers these things? And so then there's these flying sandwiches everywhere.
Well, yeah, Boeing is going to construct them in Alabama or South Carolina. I think that's the point.
And whip us for it.
So on that point, we talked about this. Your colleague Danny Westneat wrote about this. If we believe, and we do have this great educated workforce that can build airplanes, why don't we, instead of trying to keep Boeing there, you know, the old girlfriend that's already jilted us, we keep chasing after her, why don't we go after Airbus? And we already have some Airbus. Why don't we go after the Chinese? We could share our expertise.
Well, we've talked about that on this show a couple of times, and it seems like that is not the worst idea. You know, here's the workforce. Here's the systems in place. Let's talk. I do think that there is this, and I was really glad to see the Everett Herald write something about this week, that there are some sort of secret talks going on that keep Washington hope alive, you know, that there's a possibility. Because you would want to think, wouldn't you, that your governor was working some angle to kind of heal things from what happened before.
All right. And Fred Bassetti, the architect, passed away. And I watched a special on the Seattle Channel last night following watching Joni Balter hosting Civic Cocktail on the Seattle Channel. And I was amazed at how many buildings he has built. He has really had an imprint on the city.
Yeah. He used to pass out a sketch of the skyline of the city of Seattle with all the buildings that he and his architecture firm had done. It's truly astonishing. The Municipal Tower, the Federal Building, the AT&T Gateway Tower, the Aquarium, the Children's Zoo.
Scoop Jackson Federal Building. Right.
Yeah, University of Washington. He was amazing. He was prolific. He was inventive. But in some ways, his biggest impact was in the 1960s was in rallying architects. And this is when we had public architects who were really involved in civic affairs to create a more urban Seattle, but also a more human-scaled Seattle. And he did a lot to preserve the Pike Place Market, not only just saving it, but in actually helping rehab and redevelop the buildings down there.
Oh, is that right? They were still
looking. Yeah, the Sanitary
looking...
Market and some of the others he did. And he said something about the Pike Place Market that I think is like the best thing I've ever heard anybody say about it. This is in the 1960s, early 70s. He said, the Pike Place Market is an honest place in a phony time. And I thought, you know, that is really what good urbanism is all about, is having places that are honest places in a phony time.
Fred Bassetti passed away, the architect. You should check out that Seattle Channel documentary, the name of which I have forgotten. Studio 216 made it, though. I believe they made it. And you can see Joni Balter hosting Civic Cocktail there, where she is a news analyst as well for us. Knute Berger is a writer at Crosscut. Eli Sanders, a writer at The Stranger. Thank you all.
Thank you, Steve.
We'll talk to you all again next week. And don't forget, we podcast Week in Review. Check it out. This is The Record from KUOW Seattle.